Welcome to Tycoons of Small Biz, a podcast designed for small business owners, the backbone of the American economy. Join us as our hosts, Austin and Landon, share insights and experiences as small business owners, active investors and operators who have started, bought, sold, and grown several successful businesses. Tycoons is powered by Backbone Planning Partners, a business consulting and wealth management firm built specifically to serve small and medium-sized businesses.
Welcome, Tycoons, to this episode of Tycoons of Small Biz. I'm your host, Austin Peterson, joined by my two co-hosts. Yes, this is a first for Tycoons of Small Biz. We've got Landon and Grayson Mance as our co-hosts today, coming to us from Boise, Idaho. Landon, how's it going?
Yeah, it is all good. We're gonna make this work. We're gonna expose this little guy to his future at a very early age. Yeah, I'm hanging out the little man. He's passed out for now, but subconsciously he's listening, he's engaged, and he's learning. And yeah, it'll be fun.
Yeah, we'll see if he has any points that he absolutely has to make before the episode's over. But hopefully he's just here to learn today. So
yeah, no doubt.
All right, well, let's jump in. If this is the first time you're listening to us here at Tycoons of Small Biz, welcome. We're glad you're here. We've been doing this for quite a while, since Cinco de Mayo 2025. So we're actually coming up on our fifth anniversary. We do consider this our third season, just kind of with the way that we've split it up over the years. So this is episode 7 of season 3. And today we're going to talk about strategic debt. So how to leverage good debt to scale with control, how we've seen debt misused and strategically, and also then strategically leveraged by successful entrepreneurs. So really comes down to good debt versus bad debt, some tools that can be used, and real world strategies. So let's kind of jump in. I mean, here's one thing that I've seen kind of over the years, and I know you've seen it too, Landon, is there's this pride that comes with bootstrapping a business, right? Like, I started this with my own money. I didn't take on any debt. I still have no debt in the business. We're running a great organization, and we've never needed debt. And part of that might be emotional baggage, right? Or either some issues in the past with their own debt issues or family members or whatever, but it's not always the smartest path, especially as the company gets larger. So I'll kick it over to you, Landon, and kind of get your thoughts on that, your feedback on that, setting the stage, so to speak.
Yeah. You mentioned there's good debt and there's bad debt. And I think to just kind of expound upon that, it's very situational. We've seen clients that have taken on good debt, bad debt, smart debt, very stupid debt. And usually that transpires because your back is up against the wall and you're desperate. So when you're thinking about debt, most business owners, when they make bad decisions around debt, is because they're making a decision that is a reaction to some circumstances that they are facing in their business. And they're not necessarily pulling in outside perspectives from other advisors. And that's when you usually run into like stupid debt, because there is absolutely very stupid debt that gets people in big trouble. And when you've got a good advisory team, hopefully you can leverage them to ensure that at a minimum, you're not getting yourself into stupid debt. But using debt it's a tool, right? It's an arrow in the quiver. And there are circumstances and situations where it is extremely smart to use debt. And generally, the lens that you kind of look at that through is like, all right, if I use debt for situation at hand, and I can borrow that debt at 6, 8, 10, or 12%, but I can very confidently plan that this is going to help me grow my business by 15, 20, 50, 100% because of some situation or some opportunity that is presented, there are absolutely times when it makes all the sense in the world to take on debt to take advantage of an opportunity that's presented to you.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, you and I both come from a background of, you know, live within your means. Don't extend yourself. Don't take on unnecessary debt. Don't drive a super expensive car with a crazy payment. I mean, you and I have talked about this. There's somebody that I know in my circle of influence, I guess, for lack of a better way of putting it, that has a $4,000 a month car payment, right? Like, that's stupid debt. Like, it's just the reality is there can be a reason potentially to run that through the business, but this particular person is having cash flow issues in their business, not a client, by the way, having cash flow issues in their business. And rather than getting rid of that car payment, they've taken a line of credit against their house so that they can continue to make that car payment and continue to live the way that they're living. That's stupid debt, right? Like, it can, like, a home equity line of credit can actually be smart debt, right? But in this situation, it's bad debt or stupid debt because it was used the wrong way and something that shouldn't have been looked at to begin with because it was only done for the wrong reasons, right? So it can be good debt for the wrong reasons, which is also stupid debt. But I have a feeling that when you mentioned stupid debt, you were talking about something specific or specific types of debt. So give us an example of what you potentially were meaning by stupid debt.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few things that come to mind. I've seen like real estate guys where they use like mezzanine debt, which is like essentially like a bridge between where you currently are and long-term fixed rate debt. So that kind of debt can get you in big trouble because I think the interest rate on that kind of debt can be 20, 30 plus percent, extremely high. Now, again, it's a double-edged sword because if mezzanine debt can get you through a situation where you are in development and you're getting to the other side of the deal, which is developing the deal and, you know, selling the deal or renting it out or whatever the case may be, it can be an extremely lucrative transaction. But I've also seen it get people in dire circumstances because it's essentially a very high interest rate, very risky type of debt that you are taking on for a short period of time. Well, guess what? Sometimes a short period of time turns into a long period of time, right? Other things that we've seen in our practice is, what is it? Accounts receivable factoring, where you basically leverage your accounts receivable balance to get a loan against it. I don't have a lot of direct experience with it, so I can't speak. I'm not super educated when it comes to that because I've never used it myself, but I do know that that is also a kind of debt that can get you into trouble relatively quickly for a number of reasons, right? Because you're leveraging your accounts receivable with the assumption that you are going to be collecting on some of that uncollected revenue. And I think the interest rate on AR factoring is relatively high. And if you're not collecting on your AR in a timely fashion, you can get yourself into real trouble there as well. So that's just a couple circumstances and experiences that I have seen where people have gotten themselves into trouble.
Yeah, I mean, I'll kind of follow up with that a little bit. I've had a little bit more experience on the accounts receivable factoring side, and really essentially what you're doing is you're selling your accounts receivable to somebody else, right? So they're going to go out and collect that, and they're going to hope that they can collect all of it at the same terms and so forth that you'd set out, but you're basically selling it to them at a discount. So if you're expecting $100,000, but you sold it for $75,000, right? So that's the risk factor that this other company's taking on. They're going to hopefully collect it. The good news is You don't have to worry about whether or not it's collectible because they've looked into it. They've done their due diligence. They've accepted the risk, but you've actually then just discounted what you're going to receive in that instance by 25%. Well, if you continue to do that because you need cash flow all the time, you're basically selling your profit for cash flow. And so those are the types of things where you get into trouble, right? Think of like a payday loan type of a place on the personal side, like anything that has either a short-term, really high interest rate is typically not a good solution. Now, the mezzanine debt, the bridge financing that you're talking about, yes, the hard money loans, those have higher interest rates, but sometimes like home flippers or developers or whatever, like they will use it because yes, it might be 1.5% per month, which is like 18% per year, right? But if they only need it for 3 months and they know that they only need it for 3 months, it's probably not a bad idea, because you're using somebody else's capital. You may be giving up 4.5% during a 3 month period, but you've used that to then turn it into a profit. Like that can still be a smart use of debt, right? So I guess the big point that I'm trying to make here is that it's not always about the type of debt. It's almost always about, are you using that debt in a smart way? Does it ultimately end up benefiting you? And is it something that you truly planned for? Like you mentioned, right? You worked with an advisor on it, your CPA, whatever. It's something that's going to benefit you that you've planned for from a strategic standpoint rather than, oh crap, payroll's due in 2 days and I do not have the money to cover it. Where can I go to get it? That's a really bad use of debt because you didn't plan for and you didn't forecast your own cash flow.
Yep. Yeah. It makes me think about one of our clients. Their business has been, I'm not going to say it's been struggling, but it's been a very challenging last couple years. Now it looks like things are turning around relatively nicely in 2025, but it has been a very challenging last couple years. And one of the things that they have done well is before they are making decisions, they have their CPA put together a forecast. And what they do is they say, hey, this is what's happening. This is the revenue that we expect coming in. These are the approximate expenses that we believe are going to be realized over the next quarter. Please build out a cash flow forecast so that we can see money coming in, money going out, and what that's going to look like for us from a cash flow perspective at the end of this period, which just, I mean, all it's doing is just giving you kind of a glimpse into the future based on some forecasts or some predictions. And it allows you to make much more informed, confident decisions.
Yeah. I mean, that's the key, right? And the client that you're talking about, we recently met with and talked specifically about this cash flow issue because they've had this pattern of getting to the end of their season. It's a seasonal business for the most part. There is some business year round, but most of it comes during a seasonal time frame. And we've talked about this pattern that they've had of having to lend their own personal funds to the business during the slow season and then recouping that later. And sometimes it's not even the same year. They're waiting until the following year to get that repaid to them. And so this year it's been about doing better forecasting. It's about building to a certain amount of cash by the end of the season so that they don't have that, right? Because we just went through a whole off-season forecast. We know essentially what their costs are going to be during that slow season. And so we've tasked them with, it may mean that you're taking smaller distributions this year and so forth, but the reality is that money gets left in the business so that you may have taken the distribution and then lent it back to the company. So the outcome is essentially the same for you. So let's forecast the cash flow better and build up a cash reserve. Like, again, could you have a line of credit? Would it potentially make sense to use it? Maybe, right? It just really depends, but do it with a plan. Don't do it with, oh crap, there's not enough money to pay that bill. I forgot that was coming in. How am I going to come up with that money?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, I just started thinking about some business owners that we have known personally, clients of ours at the firm. And then I'm also thinking about some of the tree businesses that I bought the last couple of years. And I was thinking about how this one particular business that I'm thinking about, they never used debt. I mean, ever. Their entire business was financed through profits, right? Profits of the business. And for some people, that's going to work for them because they just have an aversion to taking on debt. And there's probably nothing that you or me or their CPA or anybody can say to them because they've got these preconceived notions about debt that it is just, it's dangerous and you want no part of it. And that's fine. But when you're looking at, for example, buying a piece of equipment and that piece of equipment is 200 grand and you can finance it from the bank for 6 to 8%, or you can go out and pay cash. And obviously we don't have time to dive into like the details around why that may not be a good decision, but ultimately the cost of capital can be so much more favorable if you can get a loan at a very attractive rate. Now, if that piece of equipment was going to cost you 15 or 20% per year, okay, probably not going to make a whole lot of financial sense to do that. But at 6 or 8% per year, if you don't have to depart with $175,000 or $200,000 of cash to buy a piece of equipment, you could depart with maybe 10 or 20% of that and finance the rest of that. Again, if your cash flow supports a payment like that without any pressure on cash flow. So basically what I'm saying is it makes all the sense in the world to support that kind of a payment. And you also get some depreciation on an asset like that. Like it can make all the sense in the world to finance something like that. And to not consider doing something like that, at least to compare the apples to apples, I think it's just not very wise. But again, I get it. There are some people that there's nothing in the world that you could say to them. They are going to pay cash for everything. And that's fine. That's their prerogative. And that's how some people operate. And it's all good. But you got to sit down and at least make the comparison to understand the nuances of doing one versus the other, because in some cases, it's just a no-brainer to take on some smart debt.
Yeah. So I think what I'm hearing you say is it all comes back to planning and understanding the decisions that you're making, right? And really, that's the whole story here, right? Like, we can go through all the types of debt that exist, and I'll kind of just real quickly lay out what they are, right, for the most part. So you've got a line of credit. When you think of a line of credit should be used for short-term working capital and managing cash flow gaps. Like, that's what a line of credit should be. It's not something that you typically hold a balance on for a long period of time. It's meant to be used, repaid. That is the intent with a line of credit. Term loan is for something like you were just talking about, right? Like buying a piece of equipment, buying a truck, buying whatever, something that's used inside of the business that typically has a longer lifespan, right? And it helps you expand or make a major investment in the business. That would be more like a term loan, right? So think of like a 5 or a 10 year loan or a 7 year loan on something like that. Next comes the SBA loans. Everybody kind of understands what an SBA loan is. It's a government backed program. So the government is kind of guaranteeing the loan through the bank, but you do have to use an SBA approved lender. So the banks have to understand how it's underwritten And then how much they do kind of dictates whether they can sign off at a certain level for the government. So there's a lot of nuances still, but basically it's a government backed loan. They have usually pretty favorable rates, favorable terms. And when you would use an SBA loan, there are other reasons, but the main uses for an SBA loan would be for real estate or business acquisitions. That's where we would typically see and recommend that you use an SBA loan. Revenues-based financing is the next one. We kind of hit on that already. That could be like accounts receivable factoring, or it could just be a lender being willing to give you a loan based on what your revenue looks like and their level of comfort. But it's typically going to come with a higher interest rate. So let's kind of jump a little bit here, Landon, to now that we've covered the types of debt. And I think most people probably already kind of knew what was available, what was out there. But debt versus equity, right? So sometimes taking on debt to expand, to acquire a new business, to take a tuck in into your business, whatever. Sometimes debt's the right answer, and sometimes equity's the right answer. So let's talk a little bit about how the difference between the two. We'll talk about control, dilution, timing, all that kind of stuff, and let that kind of lead into a scenario that you went through recently with the Tree Biz.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The consensus is generally that equity is very expensive, right? Because you are raising capital from some outside source, whether it's friends and family, whether it's a private equity group, whether it's a credit fund, whether it's a private equity group, whether it's some other type of investment group. There's a number of different places where you can raise equity. But when you raise equity, there are things that happen that are not necessarily going to be favorable for the business long term. Now, there are certainly many pros to that as well. But when you're raising capital through giving away equity, obviously you are going to own less of the company, right? So your piece of the pie is going to get smaller. You may also have to give up some decision-making or some control. So that can be an issue as well. But to kind of pinpoint one particular pro to giving up equity to raise some capital is that it can be a very strategic reason. Like, let's say that you need to raise some capital in the business and you've decided to do it via an equity raise versus a debt raise. And you find an investor that has grown an almost identical business to yours to 3 or 5 or 10 times the size of your business, and they're willing to write you an equity check and become kind of a board member or an advisory member to your business. Like, that can propel your business to a level where they get you there 10 times faster than you could have ever got yourself there, right? So even though you have a smaller piece of the pie, that smaller piece grows into a much larger piece than you could have ever got to yourself. So there are always good and bad reasons to do both. But as I think about the example of when I bought the second tree business in January of this year, we put down the minimum amount. So we put down 10%. We used an SBA loan to finance the rest of the acquisition. And for us, it made all the sense in the world because the cash flow of this business easily supported the debt payment. And we were able to pick up some synergies, right? Some efficiencies, which allowed us to increase the profit of the business even more than it was already at. And so in that particular scenario, it was a no-brainer to borrow from the SBA at about 10% interest rate per year, because, you know, what we were going to get in return far outweighed that 10% interest rate from the loan.
Yeah. And I mean, that's really what it comes down to, right? Is what benefit am I getting? And is it worth the cost, right? So is it worth the cost to add the additional cash flow slash profit that you were getting from the new business and to do so by taking on 10% debt in that business? You ran the numbers and you said, yes, it can handle the cash flow and what it'll add to revenue and profitability. And we can minimize some costs because we've got shared costs between the two different organizations being joined together. Like all of that is what everybody should be doing, is assessing whether or not that makes sense. And on the equity side, like you said, what are they bringing to the table that's going to help me grow farther than I could grow on my own, right? And that's really what you've got to assess, is what else are they bringing to the table besides just money? Because with money, you could probably go out and get it from a debt standpoint, right? Assuming that you've got the cash flow to do so. And that kind of leads me to a little bit of a conversation about what banks are looking for. Here's the reality. Banks are looking for businesses that don't really need the money. Like that's the hard part about financing, is they're looking at it and they're saying, are they doing okay from a cash flow standpoint? Do they have money set aside, right? Do they have a reserve account that's appropriate for the business that they have and the fixed expenses that they have on a monthly basis or a semi-week or semi-monthly basis or whatever the case may be? And they're wanting to take this on to be able to grow and expand. Do they have a history of growing and expanding and containing their debt, using debt in a smart way? Like all of those kinds of things come into place when a loan officer is looking at your loan. It's not just, does the business owner have a good credit score? That's not going to be enough to get financing. And the reality is, as you build your business, especially beyond 5 million, while you're building your business, you've got to simultaneously build business credit as well, because the intent is that they're using the business credit to qualify, not your personal credit to qualify, right? So you got to build a good credit profile on for the business as well. But it's all those types of things. Do they have a history of doing this? Are they growing organically? Do they have a good management team in place? Does their cash flow look good? Do they have a good amount of money sitting in the bank? All those kinds of things is what comes into play when it's time to look at financing. And so again, you've got to go to a bank, not when you're desperate for money, but because there's a strategic use for that money that you're trying to take on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very well said. As I again, just think through that second tree business that we bought, right? That was a smaller deal, right? They were doing about $500,000 a year in revenue, $170,000 of profit. And so in this case, we can spend about $30,000 a year in interest to buy almost $200,000 of profit, right? So, and again, we didn't buy the business at $200,000 of profit, but because of synergies that are created between the two companies, we can tack on a little bit of additional profit per year for that particular acquisition, which was about $200,000. So we bought it at $170,000. We're projecting, to realize about $200,000 of profit from that acquisition. So if I can spend $30,000 a year to get $200,000 a year in profit, like obviously anybody would do that, right? I mean, it's a no-brainer, but it's not always that cut and dry. And I'm probably oversimplifying it, right? Because there is more to it than that. But that is essentially what is transpiring. So if we were to use all cash, right, we would have spent $350,000 of cash to buy $200,000 of profit. But instead, we leveraged a great tool that's available, which is an SBA loan, and we acquired $200,000 of profit for about $30,000 a year in interest.
Yeah. And the flip side of that is you could look at it and say, well, okay, then you get your money back in 1.75 years. Well, not really. You still have to factor in the cost of that money that came out of your bank account to do that, right? And all the other things that need to be factored in there. So it should be assessed. You should make sure that you're involving somebody who knows how to advise you on these types of things. So I guess the maybe we've kind of beat a dead horse here, but the entire message that we're trying to get across is most types of debt can be used smartly with proper planning and in the right scenarios, and when your back is not against the wall. And that just comes down to running your business from a strategic standpoint at all times and understanding the importance of controlling your cash flow and knowing exactly where you stand and where you expect to stand at least a quarter in advance, if not a full year in advance, to know kind of what's coming and what to expect. So we've kind of come up to the end of time here. So just if you wanted to learn more about this, take action, right? Don't be fearful of debt. Learn to use it strategically and what that means. We've got a great guide called the Strategic Debt Planning Guide that you can get at backblownplanning.com/resources. The address is on the screen there. And if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us. We're happy to have a conversation about any of that. Our next episode coming up in a couple of weeks on May 13th. Is called The Burnout Blind Spot, Protecting Your Mindset While Building a Legacy. And this is a real thing, right? Entrepreneurs deal with burnout. We know somebody really close to us that has dealt with burnout and actually speaks to burnout now as an entrepreneur. And so this should be an episode that you don't want to miss. And so really appreciate you being here with us today. Grayson, the insights were way better than your dad's. So I appreciate you being here as well.
Yep. We appreciate it. Thank you for your shoulders might be hurting a little bit from carrying all the weight of this episode, but we appreciate it. And we look forward to seeing everybody May 13th for our next episode.
You've been listening to Tycoons of Small Biz, a podcast for small business owners by small business owners. Be sure to follow us on our social media channels for links to all our episodes and great content around growing, investing in, buying, and selling small businesses. This podcast is distributed for informational purposes only. Statements made in the podcast are not to be construed as personalized investment or financial planning advice, may not be suitable for everyone, and should not be considered as solicitation to engage in any particular investing or planning strategy. Listeners should conduct their own review and exercise judgment, or consult with their professional financial advisor to see how the information contained in this podcast may apply to their own individual circumstances. All investing involves risk of loss, including the possible loss of principal. Past performance does not guarantee future results, and nothing in this podcast should be construed as a guarantee of any specific outcome or profit. All market indices discussed are unmanaged, do not incur management fees, costs, and expenses, and cannot be invested into directly. Investment advisory services offered by Backbone Planning Partners, LLC. Neither Backbone Planning Partners, LLC, nor its representatives provide legal or accounting advice. The content of this podcast represents the views and opinions of Austin Peterson and Landon Mance, and or the podcast guest, and do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Backbone Planning Partners, LLC. Statements made in this podcast are subject to change without notice. Neither Backbone Planning Partners, LLC, nor its representatives, the podcast host, or its guests have an obligation to provide revised statements in the event of changed circumstances.